Yes, and if John was here, he would have said, children, you are now dismissed to go upstairs and continue with your worship time together for Children's Church. So we'll have that as they go on about their way up there, and I'll stretch as they go. But this is 4th of July weekend. I think he wanted to spend some time with Aaron down there in Texas because I think they have as much rain as we did. But we do that. So 4th of July, that is certainly something that we all enjoy, and, you know, being male and 4th of July means I get to blow things up. So it's great fun. I was one of four brothers in my household. We had some sisters as well. But we would always, you know, set things aside about May or June, started setting things aside to say, when July 4th gets here, we'll blow this up. You know, we would go buy models just for the purpose that I can get a model so I can blow it up. So sorry. So for those parents that are cringing now that I'm promoting blowing things up, sorry. But it was the way we celebrated. But the other thing with the 4th of July was that, especially like today and tomorrow, you go to the stands and everything's on sale. Right? Great. And one of my favorite things with, and even now, you go there and you get these 2-for-1 specials, right? You buy 2 for the price of 1, or you get 2, you get an extra 1. So today, I'm going to make this be spiritual eventually. But, you know, the 2-for-1 special is this idea that we're going to talk a little bit about today. Even though, you know, you can have 2-for-1 specials, you get 2 to get an extra 1. I want to ultimately talk about this idea that Jesus has a 2-for-1. And how am I going to get there? Well, I'll get there eventually. So today we're going to talk about 2-for-1. And actually, we're going to, this morning as we were praying, what are we preaching on? Well, I'm going to start in Genesis and end in Revelation. So hang on. Although I'm just going to get a couple of verses in Genesis, we're going to bookend. So we're going to have a little bit today about origins. We're going to hit Genesis for that. Good place to go to origins. We're also going to have a little bit today about ends, origins and ends. And so we'll touch in Revelation on the ends of us. And then right in the middle of origins and ends is Jesus. So we'll have a little bookend of origins, a little bookend of ends, and in the middle is Jesus. You know, everyone in the world has a theism. A theism is how you view God, right? And I could probably lump this into 4 big buckets. There's the atheist. There is no God. There is the polytheist. There's many gods. There's the monotheist. That would be us. There's one God. And then probably the pantheist. That's Yoda. The fourth. All pantheism. Everything's God. Everything. But the key to that on any theism is that they all have faith. They all believe something, right? That can't be, you can't see it, right? And so origins and ends. So we're going to spend a little bit of time on origins and ends and work from there. Because one of the key things that God said in Genesis 1:3, let there be light, right? In Genesis 1, in the beginning, the Lord created. I'm a creationist. I believe the Bible, when the Bible said the Lord created, I believe the Lord created. Genesis 1:3 said, let there be light. And there was light. The first thing he did, you can go nowhere in the universe and not see light. Right? Throughout the universe, you see light. But there was something very, very special in the story of the creation that I want us to look at. So today, let's go to Genesis. You might need to click it for me. There we go. So let's go to Genesis, and we had the days of Genesis, the creation, and I want to jump down to verse 26, because this is day 6. And in day 6, it started where the Lord created from the dust all the animals that walk on the earth. And then we get to verse 26. And then the Lord said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So mankind is special in creation. Very special. So from an origin perspective, you, humans, are very special in God's view. Hopefully you know that. You are. But I want to go something a little bit more. Because we say mankind was created in the image and likeness of God. It's the only thing in creation. He said, let me create this in the image and likeness of us. Right? The other thing about the creation. Hey, you got a seat? Okay, thanks. The other thing with creation is that this verse 26, 27, if you were to take Genesis chapter 2, it's kind of like a commentary on Genesis 24, 25, 26, 27. It's like a comment, it's like a fill out of what happened on that day 6. So I want to go to one section of Genesis chapter 2, because as we go a little bit with Genesis on God's creating us, is Genesis 2, 7. This is one of those scriptures that I kind of hang my hat on. This is one of those scriptures where from this simple scripture, there's some deep water. And this is when the Lord was talking about this sixth day of creation. He said, then it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. The only thing in creation, something unique to us, is because if we look, he said throughout in both Genesis 1, 24, 25, and in 7 following, he says, he formed the animals from the dust of the ground. The flesh we have is, you know, animals have bones and muscle and sinew. Guess what? We have bones and muscle and sinew. So our creation is similar, like, but there's something unique here. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Humans, the Lord God himself, said, not only did I form you and make you, but I breathed my breath into you. God is eternal. And anything of God is eternal. And something very, very unique with us is the fact that we have God's own breath in us. We call that the Spirit. Right? So very, very unique about creation is, first off, we are in his image, which means we look like him physically. Legs, arms, humans look like God in his likeness. He says he also let us create mankind in our image. And the image is we have this, we act, we have this soul, we have this mind and will, we have the image. We say, if my son, my Tracy says, sometimes, sorry, Luke, I'm going to pick on you. He acts just like you. He's the image of you, right? How many of you, you know, he is my son. He's so like you in so many ways. He's the image of you in a shorter version for a few more years. Then he's going to grow taller than me. But so God said, I'm going to create you in my likeness. You're going to look like I look. I'm going to create you in my image. You have the ability to act like I act. Careful there. We'll get there. And finally, there's this other thing. Something unique to mankind. So nothing else created had God's likeness. Nothing else created had God's image. And nothing else created had his breath of life in us. You know what that makes us? So God's image and likeness, that's temporal, flesh. But we have his eternal breath in us. We have a spirit. He breathed his breath and life to us, and thus man became, it says, a living creature, saying a living being and other things. We became alive because of that breath of God. Humans, we, everyone in this room, we are unique in creation in that we look like God. We have this image, we're in the image of God, and we have the breath of God. We have a spirit. It's key for what we're going. And a spirit of God is eternal. So guess what, humans? You have the part of you, the essence of you, your spirit, because it's part of God, is eternal. It will exist eternally. The key we have to get to is, where will it exist eternally? So let's go through this. So for all mankind, there is an eternal destiny. The creation of you, each person in this room, you are flesh, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is God's breath. Your spirit will exist eternally. The key question is, where? So because I said I was going to begin with Genesis, we're going to end with Revelation, but we're going to go straight into the middle, and guess what? We're going to go to John, the book of John, because we've been in the book of John for the last 5 years. Let's go back to the book of John. And actually, John chapter 3. I believe John chapter 3 is one of the pivotal, this is the place where we can pivot Jesus and God's plan for us, is John chapter 3. So let's just begin at the beginning of John chapter 3, and let's just read the first 7 or 8 verses. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." And then Jesus answered a completely different question. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." This "born again" phrase was something Jesus introduced. We hear in culture, "Are you born again? Are you born again?" Well, that's actually Jesus mentioned that, right? You must be born again. And the key to this is that he said, you must be born of water, water birth, flesh, right? Everyone who's born, everyone in this room, guess what? You are born. That was a surprise to you. There's some exclusive statements I can make, or all-inclusive statements. Everyone in this room was born of the flesh. You're here because you can touch it. I have flesh. Most of us in this room have been born again, been born of the Spirit. So it's key. If you are born again, you will enter the kingdom of God. And as I was reading this, I was reading 1 through 7, and then you get to verse 8, and you're kind of like, why did verse 8 get stuck in there? So let's go to verse 8. And Jesus said, "And the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound, and you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit." You're like, when I was reading this as a kid, I'm like, what does verse 8 mean? The wind blows where it wishes. What is that? Why did Jesus just stick that in there? So, being the nerd that I am, I went to the Greek. The highlighted word is pneuma. You can actually say the P little if you want. Pneuma. Guess what pneuma means? Wind, air in motion, breath, and spirit. Go back and read that, what we just read. Jesus said, that which is born of pneuma is pneuma. And then he immediately said, and the pneuma blows where it wants to. And you don't understand it. So now when I go back and I read verse 7, "Truly I say to you that you must be born of water, and you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of pneuma is pneuma. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. And the pneuma blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound." What was the definition of pneuma? Air in motion and breath. What did Genesis 2:7 say was special about us? It said, "I breathe my breath into you." You have a spirit. And the spirit must be born. just as the flesh was born, that spirit born again. And when I read the verse 8, I get it now. The wind, the spirit goes where it wishes. And the spirit, the wind, is God. His breath, his air in motion, his wind, his spirit. You must be born again and born of the spirit. So that tells me I get to come back to, the 2-for-1 special. Because let's continue on through John chapter 3 and let's read a little bit more. So let's jump down to the verse everyone should know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This is Jesus speaking about himself. So God so loved it, he gave me, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We have the first 2-for-1 special that Jesus is giving. Jesus said, if you have 2 births, you get 1 death at most. Physical birth, spiritual birth, physical death. Those that do not have the second birth, if you don't have this second birth, whoever does not believe is condemned already. And that's going to get us to the other side of the 2-for-1. There's a 2-for-1. 2 births, 1 death. 1 birth, 2 deaths. What is the 2 deaths you're talking about? Because we're all born of the flesh. And again, the Lord God started time. He said, in the beginning, let there be light. He started time. And we're in time right now. And there's going to be a point where he's going to stop time. And eternity's all around that, right? So we're in this kind of time mode. So there's a we're coming to the point where there'll be he will stop time. So there is a twofold destiny. First off, born again, if you have 2 births, great joy. Because your eternal destiny is life, right? He said, you shall have, whoever believes in him should not perish. This is that born again. You'll not perish. But you will have eternal life. 2 births, 1 death. At most, 1 death, because there'll be some of us somewhere along the line where they will not even taste physical death, right? He says, it's finished, it's over. And so you'll have at most 1 death in front of you. Second death. What is this? So, Andy, you said if you only have 1 birth, if you just have a physical birth, you have 2 deaths in front of you. What is that second death? Well, first, the physical death, putting unto a man wants to die, then the judgment. What is the second death? Well, Jesus, first off, let me begin by saying, I have to get us to the one point. So Jesus, who came, is sufficient to forgive all of our sins. Amen? Jesus can forgive any sin. Amen? Save one. He even mentioned that. Jesus is sufficient to forgive us of any sin, yet there is one sin that will not be forgiven. We call it the unpardonable sin. And it's commonly said, this is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Blasphemy means despising and rejecting. Right? It has the meaning of despising and rejecting the name of Jesus that you are called to by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that calls you, and you blaspheme, despise, and reject that Holy Spirit call, that sin, it's not going to be forgiven. It's the case of the unpardonable sin. It's in Mark 3:22 and Matthew 12:22. All are forgiven except the sin of blasphemy. And that term can generally be described as defiant irreverence. If you look at kind of the, what's this word in here he's talking about, this blasphemy, this defiant irreverence. Cursing God or willfully degrading things related to him, that's blasphemy. It's also attributed to some evil, but or denying him the good that he deserves, that can be blasphemy. But in this case, the case of blasphemy is a very specific one, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And because if we come down from John 3:16 and we move through 3:18, I want to go down to the end of chapter 3, and he said this. Jesus said in verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. The whole purpose of Jesus coming, right? Christmas, Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, it takes away the sins of the world. Because apart from Jesus, we are condemned. We cannot be near with the holiness of God. You are, apart from Jesus, you are unholy. You are full of sin. You are despicable in his eyes. And so you will be condemned. He even said, you're condemned already. And he said, who believes in the Son will have eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. The unpardonable sin is despising and rejecting what the Holy Spirit brings to you, which is the name of Jesus Christ, which is how you will be born again, right? Believe on me and you shall be saved. You shall be born again. So the only condition wherein someone would not be forgiven is if he is not among the whoever believes in him group. For he is the one who rejects the Son. That is the unpardoned sin. There's a book, Love Wins, right? Everybody's going to go to heaven. No. Yes, love does win. God so loved the world. Love wins. You're right. Love wins because you didn't deserve anything. God loved you. He made a way. He said, believe in Jesus and you will be born again. Your spirit will be born as you will be born of the Spirit and you will have eternal life with him. All your sins are forgiven you. If you're not in that born again crowd, your sins are not forgiven you. How can I say that? Well, the word second death actually is used four times in Revelation. We're going to go to one of them. So we're going to go to Revelation chapter 20. I told you we'd do bookends. We did Genesis. God loves us. God created us in his likeness, in his image, and with his breath. You're eternal. Jesus is in the middle. Believe on me. You must be born again. Be born of the Spirit. You have eternal life. Have two births. Or we get to Revelation 20. Down to verse 11 of Revelation 20. Remember I said God said it's over. He started it and he's going to stop it. If you looked right before in Revelation 20, it says the earth has fled away. It's gone. And now we have, then I saw a great white throne and him who is seated on it. That would be Jesus. From his presence, earth and sky have fled away, and there's no place was found for them. It's over. Time has stopped. We're no longer encumbered with time. We're in eternity. And I saw the dead, Now, throughout the New Testament, and whenever it says, quite often when it talks about Christians who have died physically, it says they're sleeping. Right? Quite often you hear that, they're sleeping. When you see the word dead in the New Testament, quite often it deals with those who aren't sleeping. It deals with those who were only ever born once. So this, I saw the dead. This is those that have not been born again. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not in that I saw the dead. So I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books, plural, were opened. So you got all the books opened. And then another book, one special book, singular, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. All the sins they'd committed, that they didn't cross that line, they did the unforgiven sin. Guess what? All their deeds are judged. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, which by definition is everybody in that line, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I think the book is there to say, you're judged. Look through the book. Your name's not there. I'm going to show you the book to show you that your name is not there. For everyone's name whose name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Three other times in Revelation, it talks about this second death. So there is a second death. The second death is for those who are not born again. And it's this place called the Lake of Fire. And it's where death and Hades are. And everyone whose name was not written in the Book of Life was also thrown into the Lake of Fire. Remember, we as humans have an eternal spirit. We will exist eternally. You will exist with God in eternal life, or you will exist apart from God in this thing called the lake of fire eternally. There's many of these atheists, and the naturalists say, you know, when life's over, it's over. The Sadducees, they thought that. That's why they were sad, you see. I remember that as a little kid. I still remember that one. That's why they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in afterlife. So that's why Jesus didn't have much to do with them. But, sorry, that's an aside. They're wrong. The naturalists of our world, they're wrong. They have a great religion. They have this great faith system in natural stuff that's wrong. But we will exist. Everyone in this room, you will exist through eternity, folks. Where's your eternity going to be? Eternal life, or the second death? Your body will die, you'll be the dead, and you'll stand in line, and you'll see your name's not in the book. You'll be cast into the second death, an eternal death. We who are under the belief, who are under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an eternal life. But our God is, dare I say, a very intolerant God. Is that politically incorrect? But he does judge. Said he saw him seated on the throne. He will judge. And he said, Jesus, Holy Spirit, believe on me. If you don't believe on me, you are not born again. And if you have one birth, you have one physical death, one birth, you have two physical deaths in your destiny. Why do I say all this bad news? First off, let me talk a bit about grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, right? Grace is getting something. You know, a simple definition of grace and mercy, because why do we? Grace is you get something you don't deserve. It's a gift. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Okay? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace, right now, I could lump grace into three big clumps. There's common grace. Right now, we are in the midst of God's common grace. He created this world. It's a beautiful place to live. The sun will shine. The rain will fall. He says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's common grace to everyone. God created this world as a beautiful place to live. He provided food for us to eat. Everyone, saved, unsaved, is under God's common grace. Then you have saving grace for God. By grace are you saved through faith. Saving grace, awesome. Then there's sanctifying grace. But all of that is about being in the experience. Even today, all of the world is under God's common grace. And we get the beauty and the wonders of God's creation to see. Whether they deny it or not, they still get to experience it. You know what happens when the lake of fire and hell is a place? God is not there. Why is hell so bad? It's the absence of God. It's the absence of good. Just as I think last week John was talking about darkness, how darkness, technically darkness is the absence of light. So if you put any light in darkness, suddenly you don't have the absence of light. Well, hell is the absence of God. Just as the Father kind of turned away from Jesus on the cross, became, you know, why'd you forsake me? Hell is the absence of God. There's nothing good in hell. It's discarded. God's grace is not there. Whereas in heaven, we don't need the sun or the star because God's lighting it. Right? You have God's grace right now. Hell is so terrible because God is absent. There's no good. There's no grace. There's only bad. So, here I'm at. I only have 2 points. That's all my setup for my 2 points in my sermon. Jesus has a 2-for-1 for you. Which one are you? 2 deaths? At most, one death. Two births. You only have one death in front of you. That's joy. One birth, which is everybody in this room. If you only have one birth, the 2-for-1 is flipped. If you have one birth, you have 2 deaths in front of you. Your flesh will cease to function. Did you notice, just as an aside, how did the dead get in front of Jesus? We'll talk a bit about even the unsaved bodies will be resurrected. I won't go there too far, but they'll be resurrected in front of him. The sea brought up the dead. Hell and Hades gave up the dead. They gave up the dead to them, and all the dead stood before them. Bodily torment in hell, as well as spiritual separation from your Creator. Which are you? And why do I say this? Well, to those who are born again, rejoice. Amen. Go ye therefore and teach. Why do I even want to, you know, what do you do this? Well, is our purpose as we walk upon this earth is just to say, I've been born again, I'm done? No. Go ye therefore and teach. Right? Let your light so shine before men. What's the call for the 2-to-1 when you are born again? You have 2 births. Rejoice. Go and teach. Show forth. Your witness is a more, and remember, your witness is more about your life, how you live this second birth, than any word you might ever use. There's very few of us that have words we get to speak in front of people. You're testifying all the time with your life. Live like he would call you that. Your testimony that you would say and your testimony that you do need to match up. We can get the whole James faith without works thing eventually, but that's your call. Rejoice. But to those, whether you're in this room or you know someone or someone on this tape or whatever, there are those here who are on that second row. You only have one birth. Your eternal destiny at the moment is set. You have two deaths in front of you. That's not a rejoicing thing. The good news is Jesus is the answer. Jesus says, I have life for you. What's it take to be born again? Believe. Confess. It's actually by grace you're saved through faith, the Spirit. The reason it's so bad is because you're saved through the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you're in this room right now. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit wanted you here. And you're hearing this. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit wanted you here to hear this. Are you going to despise the Holy Spirit? Are you going to reject the Holy Spirit? Are you going to blaspheme that Holy Spirit? That's not forgiven. And you'll stand in front of that throne, and your name will not be in the book. Or, Holy Spirit's here, and the wind blows wherever it wishes. The pneuma blows wherever it wishes. It's blowing in you right now. And it says, you must be born again. One last thing, I was driving through Springfield, I think it was a few weeks back, and I saw a bumper sticker. I hate reading bumper sticker, and I hate reading Facebook posts because sometimes they irk me. But this bumper sticker said, born okay the first time. No, it was a car. So that means there must be more than one. But there's this bumper sticker that said, born okay the first time. My heart just sunk for that person. Because the deceiver has them deceived. You're not born okay the first time. You're born the first time, you have two deaths. And then likewise, I also saw, looking at a thing about ISIS and all this craziness that's going on there, and they have a bumper sticker that says, Y-O-D-O, Yodo, you only die once. Meaning, come martyr yourself. So the Muslims have a Yodo, Y-O-D-O. You only die once. Come on. No. You weren't born right the first time. And if that's the case, you don't only die once. You have an eternal second death in front of you. Unless you have the hope. Christians, we have hope. We have joy. We have all this thing that this lost world has. They're clamoring for it. They don't know they are. But they're looking for hope. I know in Guatemala, I bet you had a bunch of hopeless girls. And they came and said, I have hope for you. I'm sitting in this room thinking, I don't know what to do myself. Gee, I have hope for you. It is the Lord's desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Peter. You're here in this room. You haven't been born again. I'd love to talk to you about that. Raise your hand if you'll talk to somebody about. If someone says, who's ready? Scott, raise your hand. If someone says, I want to understand this born again, can I talk to you? Raise your hand. If you can say, come talk to me. Raise your hand. If you don't know what I mean, come talk to me. Raise my hand. All right, everyone in this room, you may be scared to come up here. A bunch of people just raised their hand. Don't leave here if you've only been born once. Because the wind blows where it wishes. And it's blowing right by here today. Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. All right, I don't want to end on a downer. Rejoice. You who have the winds, has the wind blown through you? The wind blown by you? You were on the second row. We all were there. I started there. You move up. You get promoted up the line. Amen. So understand, Holy God loves you. God wants you to be with Him. It is the desire that none should perish, that all should have come to repentance. All should have life with Him, eternal life, not eternal death. Amen? Amen. So let's pray together. Father, we come to you, even as I've been declaring up here, Father, I'm thankful to you that you saved me. I remember a 9-year-old kid. You came by that day, and you said, the Spirit washed by me. And I said, I believe. Well, Father, I pray we all just remember that, rejoice in that time, rejoice in you. And Father, I do pray for whoever's in this room or listening on this tape or whatever the case may be, or Father, for each of us as we go through Monday and we get to talk to somebody, may the wind blow, may the pneuma blow by and save them. Father, we pray we would represent hope. We pray we represent you, who is life. And we bless your name. We thank you, Jesus, for being our God, our Savior, and our Lord most of all. May your will be done. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.